Fine.
You want to turn it off for a second?
Yes.
Because you don't need to, all my remarks. Kind about anybody, but I just meant.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, this is a interview with Jeanette Lone on August the 27th in the year 2001 in Jeanette's beautiful home overlooking Lake Washington. And the interview viewer is Dori Stiefel. Anyway, Jeanette, it's a pleasure to interview you. And I know that you are one of the natives of Seattle, not that many here that can really talk about some of the earlier days in Seattle history and Seattle Jewish community and the general community. Okay. And I know that you've been active in both areas. So why don't we get started?
Fine.
Tell us a little bit about.
Well, does this have any special format? Do you go by subject matter or what?
A little bit. What I wanted to do is to. Would be very nice.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your family background, how they came to Seattle, or were they born here? Or?
No. I'm the youngest of four siblings, three of whom are deceased. And I was born in a, I just have this from speaking knowledge, down in an area called Remington Court, which was an early Jewish section of Seattle.
Remington Court?
Remington Court. It is now located someplace near the present juvenile court, around probably between 16th and 12th and Jackson. We lived there for a short while and then moved to 23rd and Cherry, which at that time was still somewhat of a Jewish neighborhood, but more integrated. And I lived there from age 5 to about my entrance into high school, which was Garfield High, and just several blocks distant. At that time, my father's circumstances were better, and we moved to the Denny Blaine area, which was almost 100% non-Jewish.
Could you tell me your family name, your maiden name?
My maiden name was Milstein.
Milstein.
Mm-hmm. And my parents were Morris and Sarah Milstein, who had met in New York. I don't know the age my father emigrated to this country, but my mother was 14 from a small village called Skopchik, which at that time was Russia, and after the war, Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
She came here alone and went to work in the garment industry in New York City. And I think my father was also associated with business in that area. I remember her telling me that she had fallen in love with a young Italian man, but knew that she should not marry outside her faith.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up marrying my father, and one of the things I thought rather interesting was neither of them had any resources at the time, nor did the circle of friends with whom they associated. And so they rented a hall, didn't have the money to pay for it, but any guest who came dropped money in the cab, and that helped pay for the rental of the hall and the celebration of their marriage. My mother's elder brother and a younger brother had come to Seattle prior to that, and I don't know what circumstances ended in that, but her younger brother, who was a bachelor, was one of Seattle's best custom-made tailors with a very fine shop at 3rd and 3rd and Union, right near the post office. I still remember,
you remember
visiting.
His name?
Yes, his name was Harry Thal, T-H-A-L. My mother's maiden name was Thal. Her elder brother, Abe Thal, had established a garment factory, manufacturing a very fine quality of women's cloaks and suits, together with two other men, one of whom was not Jewish, and the other an early Seattle resident by the name of Max Tatt, T-A-T.
Mm-hmm.
And my father and mother came to Seattle to improve their economic conditions. And my father went to work in the factory which his brother-in-law had established. Well, look it up, all I think. My father was never without employment. And that was, of course, important during the Depression years. We had a modest middle-class upbringing. I never knew what it was like to be hungry. And although my three siblings had been offered attendance at the university, for some reason or other, they chose not to go, or other conditions might have prevailed so that they didn't go, but I was the only one in the family that attended and graduated and got an advanced degree.
Was that unheard of in the,
No.
I mean, your family was supportive of your going into higher education?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No question about that. That was one of the messages that I think most young Jewish people got from their families in those years, and that was prepare yourself to earn a livelihood, because there's nobody going to be out there to help you unless you help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my peers who attended the university had the same goal in mind, prepare yourself to earn a livelihood. At that time, there were many occupations not available to women. Teaching and social work were among those that were. And because the elder sister of a close friend, whom I admired deeply, was a social worker, and I wanted to be just like her.
So you went in?
Yeah.
To
at the University of Washington, was a soc major, and was then accepted to the Graduate School of Social Work.
Yeah, well, we're kind of going very fast here, but
I might pick up some other threads
at
another
time. Okay.
I had no problem getting employment as a social worker, and it just so happened that war broke out while I was working with Family Society of Seattle. And because the social work school administrator had strongly urged that class to take the administrative assistant civil service exam, when the government started recruiting people, I was employed as a CAF 14 and above. Those are higher administrative jobs in the federal government to recruit people for the war effort. There was no Hillel when I was on campus, and I had a very closely knit circle of friends, all of whom were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I might have had a few non-Jewish friends as I grew up, but primarily they were Jewish.
Were you involved in any, they have Jewish fraternity sororities at that time or anything?
There was one Jewish sorority on campus. However, not only because, I'd say primarily because I didn't have the money to join, but even had I had the money, it was unlikely that I would have been able to pledge. Because my cousin, my first cousin, who was the same age as I, was eager to join, but was not accepted by Alpha Epsilon Phi. Quote, you had to have blue blood, blue Jewish blood, to get in. It was quite discriminatory if your family wasn't associated with Temple D. Hirsch or some of the early pioneers. There was definitely discrimination in the Jewish community itself among Jews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So far as being active in Jewish organizations, AZA was an active group of young high school to the first couple years of college young men. It was sponsored by B'nai B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my friends were very active in it.
Can you name some of
yes,
them?
Yes, Dr. Harry Pass,
uh-huh.
Carl Pruzan, and Dr. Russell Tatt, and Dr. Hai Cohn, many of them high achievers later on in life, were close friends who belonged to AZA. At that time, they were having a West Coast convention in Seattle. There had never been a sweetheart of AZA necessary before that in the local chapter. I always think I was railroaded through by my friends, but that may not be for me to judge. Anyway, I was elected the first sweetheart of AZA.
Wonderful.
And my job was to fix up the dates for the Out of Town Boys.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I had a great time.
Do you remember what year that was, or about?
I can't remember whether I can't remember whether I was a senior in high school or a freshman in college.
Okay, all right.
But it was great fun, mm-hmm. And we had some very elaborate parties, and I made some lasting friendships of the young men.
So they came from Missouri?
Yes, Portland, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember whether California was included or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of my more pleasant childhood memories. And so far as unpleasant childhood memories, I can only remember one childhood incident which involved anti-Semitism, but other than that, I really was spared that throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was because my associations were primarily Jewish, with less opportunity for anti-Semitism to be directly to me.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one instance, I couldn't have been more than about 8 or 9 years old. And our neighborhood was totally non-Jewish except for my immediate family. In fact, I have to smile because when we eventually moved to Denny Blaine and there were 5 or 6 Democratic votes in the precinct, because in those years all the precincts published how many Democratic and how many Republican votes originated there.
Mm-hmm.
There was always 5 or 6 in this particular Denny Blaine precinct, and we knew darn well that it was the Milstein family. At any rate, to get back to this one incident which has always remained with me of anti-Semitism, I had close playmates in the 2 girls who lived next door to us in the, with this non-Jewish family. One time we were playing, and whether it was hind goes seat or what, and I went into my neighbor's garage. And when I wanted to get out, when I realized that I'd been in there an unduly long time, I couldn't get out.
Mm.
And I started yelling. And eventually my cries were heard, and what had happened is that the father of the 2 girls with whom I played was around at the time, and he had obviously locked me into the garage.
Oh,
yes, and it was either my mother or my father heard me and rescued me. And even though it's a strong memory, it's the only memory like that that I can remember having such strong anti-Semitism, and that was the root of it. The other instance that was discussed with my family is when my sister, who was a trained stenographer, knowing shorthand and whatever else she had to know at the time to be a qualified stenographer, had trouble getting a job. And one of the local automobile agencies had advertised for a secretary. There were no legal restrictions at the time, and no laws that would have covered discrimination. And she had some trouble finding a job, and finally went to the Anti-Defamation League. And they did take up the issue. She eventually found a job, whether it was on her own or not, I don't know. But I remember the issue was brought to the Anti-Defamation League. And this had to be when I was in high school. Because she was about 6 years older than I.
But there was no discrimination in housing in that area in Denny Blaine, and you had no problem?
No, we were in Denny Blaine but on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jews didn't move into that. Also because housing, the house we bought was a very nice one.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably it didn't require tremendous income by any means, but
mm-hmm.
Middle class.
Oh,
and it was more costly to live there than it was on Cherry Street or Columbia
mm-hmm.
or Spring Street or wherever.
Do you remember
we
anything of the Cherry Street area? How old were you when you left there?
I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
I remember playing at Garfield Playfield,
mm-hmm.
and I still remember that every Halloween the city would put up huge bonfires, and it was very different from the way it's celebrated today.
Mm-hmm.
A very neighborly coming together of people. Anyway.
Who were some of your neighbors? Do you remember any of the neighbors in the old neighborhood there? Or?
Well, even at 23rd and Cherry, and the site of the house we lived in is now a gas station, I know that. And it was an old several-story house, and I lived there during World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Because the memory is still vivid to me of an itinerant bookseller who came to our house to sell, the war was over at this time, large books with pictures of world troops at the front,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera,
mm-hmm.
of World War I. And our family's means were very minimal at the time. And my mother had a boarder in addition to 4 kids, and my memories of her was working all the time.
I think that do you remember any of this story? You don't know, remember specific neighbors or families that were your friends at that time?
We had a German family immediately next to us by
uh-huh.
the name of Klonig, who were, I think, self-isolated because there wasn't that kind of community neighborliness
mm-hmm.
in that area at the time. But I just remembered that they were of German origin during the war,
mm-hmm.
and
but if
there
the,
might
if
have been
the
some
Jewish families who were the family's
oh, yeah,
closest
I now,
friends.
I, yes, I now recall a door away from us was a flat which had several apartments in it, and the Aarons, Jean Aaron's family,
uh-huh.
Lived in that building. As did a couple of other families whom I knew and who had girls the same ages of mine, but who are now deceased.
Mm-hmm.
So there were Jews
mm-hmm.
in the area.
Mm-hmm. This
and
was
when
Cherry,
I and,
yeah.
and when I went to Garfield High, although we were not the majority of students, there was a strong Jewish element at Garfield High. And the black element was minimal,
mm-hmm.
even though it's maximum today. But blacks didn't come into this community to any great degree until World War II
mm-hmm.
and moved into areas that Jews gradually moved out of.
Tell me, were your parents involved in the congregation then at all? And when
I don't
you were growing up?
I don't remember them. To get back to my early days, I recall when I was probably between 4 and 6 or 7, when we still lived in a reasonable distance from what was then the settlement house started by a women's organization at Temple T. Hirsch to help integrate newcomers, especially early immigrants, into the community. When I was about 8 and moved over to Cherry and then 26th and Spring further north, we were too far away from the settlement house for me to use the benefits of that social organization. But when we were still in the relative immediate community, I remember going there for dancing lessons.
Oh,
so I couldn't have probably been more than 5 to 6 years of age.
Mm-hmm. And were you involved with the that facility later at all, or?
My only involvement with later on was when I was a member of the National Council of Jewish Women and active for many years. And at that time, the Settlement House had been sponsoring sponsors of the organization after the management through Temple D. Hirsch changed. And there was involvement, of course, among the Council of Jewish Women members. And that went on for some years.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents involved in any Jewish organizations that you
My father, I remember, although he regarded it with much disdain because of the politics, was a member of the Workman Circle, also called the Arbiter Ring. Which is, I think, a German-Jewish way of saying workman circle. This was a nationwide organization that people who had socialist tendencies or were active socialists were members. My father had contempt for basic socialism, thinking that democracy was by far the best system of government. And he had friends who were members, and the reason he joined was the $200 death benefit, which was one of the virtues of membership. And he felt that that would help his family in the event that he met with an untimely death. However, he did belong for many years, probably at the end the $200 wasn't worth very much, but it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
My mother was much too busy in her home with the children and the boarders and everything else, never herself took an active part in anything. And it just wasn't one of those things that many immigrant women, unless they had more vision than she had, did. Mm-hmm. Their orientation was to their home and to their children. And
sure.
I was lucky to say that I had a very secure, loving home, and certainly benefited from the literally luxury of having that kind of an atmosphere around me.
And yet you associated with Jewish friends. What would you say kind of shaped your life, and later on you yourself became quite involved, and you've been active, and you're certainly a committed member of the community, I would at least
say. Well, I had many good role models to follow. I remember that one of the things my parents were active in, because they regularly met for potluck dinners at our home, was an organization called the Skupchik Society. Skupchik was a small village in Lithuania from where my mother had come, as had a number of other people in this community. And they met monthly for potluck and fundraising. And this was all before World War II and Hitler. And money was regularly sent to the small village, which of course was under Russian domination by that time.
Who were some of the other families, do you remember?
I'm sorry to say I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I was too young at the time to pay much attention. I only knew about the food and the partying that went on. I'm probably leaving out some of the other things that my parents were active in, but I just don't recall. In those days, once parents weren't that active in PTA, after all, this was 75 to 80 years ago.
Yes.
And you didn't have as many social resources available.
Well, I'm sure your
My father never had
a...
Huh?
I'm sure your father worked long hours, too, and...
Well, until the law changed.
Uh-huh.
My father never had a car because he felt that with two boys in the family, there would always be arguments, and he didn't think that was necessary. However, my wonderful bachelor uncle, with whom I had a very close relationship and who always expected me to bring home a laundry slip of A's from school, for which I was compensated a nickel an A or something like that, mm-hmm. as money became more available, had a touring Oldsmobile, and I can still remember his taking the family out on Sunday afternoons, and I can remember in the autumn there was no bridge across Lake Washington. So in order to get to the east side, which was all, east side of the lake that is, which was all farmland, you had to circumvent the lake, and which was a considerable distance to drive in those days. And in the
still
autumn,
is.
My mother would go over, well, the roads are better today, would go over, and my father would buy Concord grapes to make his own wine, which not too infrequently turned to vinegar. And he would use them as the sacramental wines for the High Holy Days. And we'd get apples and pears and fresh corn. So I was lucky enough to know what farm life was like, even though I was a city slicker. So far as religion is concerned, in my immediate home, my parents were Orthodox and attended Bickerholm Synagogue. And since on holidays you didn't drive to the synagogue, by the time we got to Denny Blaine, it was many miles of walking back and forth for them. And I know they didn't. I don't ever recall my father going Saturday mornings for services. And interestingly enough, we four children never had religion pressed on us. Mm-hmm. I can't ever remember having discussions. My mother lit the candles on Friday night mm-hmm. and baked the challah and made the chicken soup and the chicken. It was always a traditional Friday night. But for some reason, we did not get the schooling on the meaning of those holidays mm-hmm. as children. I think by the time she finished the day's work, her sense of organization lacked something because she left everything for Friday, washing the kitchen floor, baking the Sabbath challah, making the gefilte fish, cleaning the house, and of course always the bath at 5 o'clock to be ready for the Sabbath. And by that time she was probably so exhausted that all she could do was just sit down in a chair when it was all over. And one of my early memories that my sister and my mother reserved a Saturday for herself. She absolutely refused to do any work. And she'd get up in the morning and go visit her sister, who lived a couple miles away, and she'd walk there and have lunch with her sister and spend the day, and then would come home mm-hmm. in the evening. And that was something she obviously looked forward to every week because it was her day of rest. And so far as my sister and I were concerned, when Mom left, we went down to the refrigerator and got all the chicken legs and bones that were left over, take them up to bed with us, and we'd sit there and read for a few hours. It was great. And Sunday school. I remember when I was very young, that had to be before we moved to Denny Blaine, because that was so far, my father didn't have a car, going for a few years to the totally unorganized Sunday school at Bickerholm. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Myaslin, who was an early attorney in this town, well-known family, was my Sunday school teacher for several successive years. Why my family's to get there. There was a streetcar that ran straight down Union Street from Denny Blaine, and that may have had something to do with it, unless there might have been somebody around who gave me a ride to get there. I went for a year or two, and the only memory I have is repeatedly hearing about how Moses was found in the bulrushes. And that's about as much as I learned formally. And we always had special dinners to commemorate the various Jewish holidays together with relatives, because mm-hmm. my mother was the eldest sister. So we always had her younger sisters and their families with us. And there again, hearing the service. So the service was read primarily in Hebrew.
At your house.